know too many congregations, and I'm going to tell you this. Within the last 2 weeks or so, I have gone through two high-power radiation treatments for prostate cancer. And I'm getting over, but I'm not quite over it. And I was debating the call and say I wasn't going to be here tonight earlier, but, you know, I'm trying to keep my obligations that I've committed. God has been good to me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me because I don't feel sorry for myself. He has so brought me through. I had my last radiation last week. And so I feel good, but I'm not quite there yet. And if you, some of you men might have had it, you know what I'm talking about. But I just want you to pray for me that everything goes well and it is over. Hope they have gotten it and stopped it. But, you know, that's life. We don't know what a day holds. But God not going to put too much on us that we can't bear. That's how I look at it. He thought I can bear it, and I got it, and I'm doing what I can to get rid of it with his help and the doctors and all those that had a part in it. So y'all can just pray for me and my family that everything goes well. Now, I'm here to do a job tonight. So my lesson, in my lesson, and I just want to start it this way. In the beginning of the chapter, Paul declares to the church in Ephesus to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. In verse 1 of that chapter, church, they are to live their lives in a manner that becomes the divine call of vocation, which summon them to salvation. For them to do so, they first are called to walk together in unity by first the attitude which are crucial for maintaining unity, Ephesians 4, 2 through 3. The basis of their unity are in Christ, verses 4 through 6. Then they are to utilize the gifts given to them by Christ to his church that they serve to keep the body of Christ together so it can grow in unity. Verses 7 through 16. Now, in verses 17 through 24, where our lesson text come, the Apostle Paul admonishing them to do several things in that passage of Scripture. So we begin in verse 17, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over there with me. You know, in Madison, I still encourage people to bring their Bible to church. You know, I'm of the old school. If you come into church, you should have your Bibles. Now, I know some people have their cell phone and their iPads or whatever. You know, I'm an old school man. I ain't afraid of a person see me walking with a Bible. Because some people need to see us walk with a Bible in this day and time. So turn your Bibles there. Now, in verse 17 of that chapter, let me read that verse. And I'm going to read each verse as I go. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds." Now, Paul's admonition to the church at Ephesus was to walk not as other Gentiles walk, church. Paul calls upon these brethren to walk different from the unconverted Gentiles. Instead of listening, instead of letting Christ direct them as his head, as their head, they was following the vanity of their minds or the futility of their minds. And, you know, we live in a society today that people are not concerned about hearing what God said, even in denominational churches. And they're getting that way sometime in the Lord's church. We don't want to hear what God says. We want to bring in some new teachings or doctrine. is nothing new that we can bring to this book. I believe God has given us everything that we need when it comes to life and godliness in this book. 2 Peter 1:3. If we're going to have to get into this book and examine this book and pull out what we need to make it from earth to heaven according to this book. Now, church, when we look at these Gentiles, those who think they could pick and choose whatever they wanted to obey or not obey from God's word and still remain faithful to the Lord, were mistaken. See, God's word or his church is not a cafeteria. S&S cafeteria. Some of you probably heard of S&S. Let's say Burger King. You know, are familiar with Burger King. You go to Burger King, say, give me a Whopper. Holy onion. Holy pickles. Light on the mayo, no ketchup. But see, the church is not that way, nor God's word. And we live in a society where many think they can take what they want and leave what they don't want. Now many people today are willing to change scripture authority to be politically correct, a popular sentiment in this world in order to please others. Now, let me say this. When you look at these Gentiles, as Paul talking about in this chapter, walk not as the Gentiles walked. Now, the church was mainly Gentiles in Ephesus. But these, you had some was not Christian, and they wanted to go back to their old way of life and do those things. And Paul is trying to get them to see, you can't do that. You're going to have to walk according to the will of God or the will of Christ. Now, church, there are consequences. Let me just say, you know, in the world which we live today, we have so many things going on. And I believe that if we're going to see a little later in this lesson how some of them apply to us as it did then with the Ephesian Christians. Now, church, we are faced at a time, I believe, I might not be here, but some of the church might be suffer persecution. I mean physical persecution, cast into prisons. Why you say that, preacher? Because at a time which we live, God's word says this, and they're going to call us haters. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm not a hater. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I don't like a man to steal. I don't hate him. I don't like a man that break in people's houses and kill or rob them. I don't like it, but I don't hate the man. Church, I don't like a man that wants to be a woman. Now, let me change that. I don't like his ways. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't hate the man. And every family has someone in that family that are that way. Now, if you don't believe me, examine your family closely. Now, I can name one or two in my family. It's not right, regardless of who they are. And this is going to get the church either to stand for Jesus or reject Jesus. You're going to have to take a stand for what's right when it comes to the word of God. Now, getting back to my lesson, there are consequences of walking according to the standards of this world and not according to the will of God. When we look at the Bible, turn your Bible, if you have your Bible, to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to begin with verse 9. And I know you are familiar with some of these passages. And I want you to notice what Paul told the church in Corinth. Paul, in the 6th chapter, said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want you to look at this next verse. Look at what Paul says. He said in verse number 11, he said, and such were what? Some of you. They had members that practiced those things at one time, but they had to change their lifestyle. They had to change. And the same way today, it applies to, we have to change. God's word don't change with society. God's word is going to stay the same until Christ comes again. Then he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. See, when you are baptized, God washed away your sin. That's when you are washed. He said, but ye are sanctified. You have been set apart in the church. You are different from the world. Then he saith, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So church, we came out of the world into the church and we did some things that was sinful before we was Christians. We have always been Christians. Just like those Gentiles, Ephesians, they weren't always Christian, but once they obeyed, they was trying to go back. See? And Paul encouraging them to stay faithful. When we are, well, church, if it may satisfy and please many folks, but it is vain as far as helping them prepare for heaven when we allow them and let them not know what's right when it comes to the word of God. And this is where the church is going to have to stand. I believe we need to take a stand for what's right. You know, and I know the government and everybody are promoting these things, but what are we going to do? What if someone come here and say, we want to get married? Two men or two women. Or we want to be baptized for the remission of sin. Can they be baptized for the remission of sin? No, according to the Bible. They have to change their lifestyle. Let's go a little further. In verse 18, this is what Paul says. He says, let me get back in to Ephesians. Paul says in verse 18, he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, church, several things we need to understand. Having their understanding darkened. Their minds were clouded with sin and cut off from God. And they were spiritually dead, those Gentiles. And now we have to understand, and we understand what doctrine means. The example, this explains why people, many people today, live like they do and behave like they do. Now, we live in a society today, just like those massive killings. They don't have no remorse for people's life or your property or anything. When a man can come just shoot down people or hate someone, that's wrong. That's wrong. And then the church needs to stand up for what's right. Yes, we need to have sympathy and concern, and our hearts and prayers go out to those families, but we need to stand up and let people know what the Bible says when it comes to sin. Sin is never going to be right. If I do it or you do it, it's never going to be right. We all can lose our soul, but the Bible is going to always be right. And we need to keep that in mind. And whoever is doing it, it's wrong. When you can't walk the streets or you can't go anywhere unless someone dislike you or want to shoot you down because of who you are, I think people have forgotten what the Bible says in the 17th chapter of Acts. We are all of one blood. We all came from the blood of Adam's. And we are still brothers and sisters. Whether your skin or my hair texture are different, we still brothers and sisters, humanly. And we're going to always be until Jesus comes again. But what makes it so better, we are brothers and sisters in Christ now. That make it more better. Church, when you think about those Gentiles and you think about our society today and the thing that we are going through and our world is going through, it's similar to what they went through. See, ignorance is no excuse with God. Go back to verse 18. This is what it said. Being alienated from the life of God through what? Ignorance. They became estranged to God because of ignorance. You know, the Bible teaches in Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but commands all men everywhere to repent. Ignorance is no excuse. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians, verse number 7, following. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, this is what he says in the next verse. In what? Flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's ignorance. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to take vengeance on them. That's why it's important, and we in the church shouldn't be ignorant. It's not an excuse for us to be ignorant in the church. That's why we need to study God's word, read God's word. Meditate upon God's word, because we have to give an account for the things that we do in this life. Now, church, one of the things that motivated Christ's enemies to kill or put him to death was ignorance. According to Acts 3:17, ignorance. Now, nothing wrong, all of us ignorant to some extent. I don't care if you have a PhD in physics. You don't know everything. Some things you don't know. See, give you this illustration. There was a man who was in prison, and he was at the gate, and this man had a flat tire, and he had parked his car on a hill, and every look, nut he took off, he put it on the ground to roll in the sewage. He didn't catch it until he had three left. He put them in the hubcap. Now, the man was looking at him, and he didn't know what to do. He said, put one around so it can hold the tire until you go and get some more. And he was at a mental institution, really. And the man said, I thought you were crazy. He said, I may be crazy, but I ain't stupid. See, the church, everybody knows something. And we all don't know everything. And that's the point, ignorance. But I'd rather be ignorant in other matters of life than ignorant in the word of God. See, we need to know God's word. Now, notice the downward steps that the rebellious Gentiles took in their self-walk. See, when you walk according to yourself, you're going to have some problems. Now, one of the downstairs, they follow their own mind. See, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end there are the ways of death, Solomon said. We can't walk according to our minds. Their understanding was darkened. They were alienated from the life of God. They became ignorant. And finally, they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. This is the problem with our society today. The hearts of men are hardened. They believe and think they can do whatever they want to do and it's going to be all right. It's not all right. And it never will be all right. These steps represent a walk of spiritual death when pursued. The person who closes his eyes or heart to the truth has closed his or her eyes or heart to hope and victory. And you can't be saved if you close your eyes or your heart to the truth. Jesus in Revelation, the 3rd chapter, in verse 20, say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, church, Jesus is standing at the door of men's heart knocking. He said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door." Now you're going to have to hear his voice, hear his word. And then you're going to have to be willing to open your heart, or open your door, open your mind to the teachings of Christ. And accept them, he said, "I will come in unto him, and we'll sup with him, and he with me." See, Jesus wants us to open the door of our hearts. See, you ain't gonna change a man unless you change his thinking. That's our society. You can write anything on a piece of paper and make it a law, but if don't change this here, it doesn't mean anything to people. You got to change the way a man think. And I think God has given us the thing that we can use to change the way we think. In verse 19, the Bible says, go back to Ephesians, verse 19. The Bible says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now, in this passage, why are these people lost forever? When you read this verse, why? Paul said that they became past feeling. Being past feeling means being morally insensitive. Careless has grown around their heart and blocked out everything else, especially God's word. Church, truth and morals always suffer when men get they're insensitive to spiritual reality. Now, the downward steps harden their heart until all feelings of their morals was forgotten. Turn to the ways of the devil. You know, when I was doing this, that remind me of the days of Noah. Y'all know what happened in Noah in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Turn your Bibles there. I'm just going to remind you. You know this passage. And verse 5, isn't that what the Bible said? "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." Do you think that sounds like the world today? You don't think them criminals and them young men and whoever, they're killing folk, that they don't plan this thing first, or plan those things, the activities first before they do them? They are mired on evil. That's why they don't care about your life. That's why they don't care about your property. They don't care about their own lives sometimes. The imagination of their hearts on evil continually. They are thinking of ways. Matter of fact, at the church building, I got several calls. They still coming, telling me my social security number is wrong. And I need to call that number. And if I don't call it, I'm going to be in jail. They're going to arrest me. Now, they ain't arrest me now. You know, I didn't even call it back. I don't fool with them. I have learned, you know, if I'm supposed to be in jail, why I'm not in jail? They are thinking a way, and they want to verify my social security number. Do I need to verify my social security number with them? That's what these people are thinking away. You get those calls too. I know you do. When we are sleeping, they are thinking of ways to beat us. I had one today. You want to test yourself for cancer. I don't need you to test me for cancer. If I want to know if I got cancer when I go to my checkup every year, the doctor should find out if I have cancer. If I do a biopsy, they'll find out. See, just do this, and once you give them your information, they got you. Sure, let me get back to my lesson. I don't want to put too much time, but this is what our world, their imagination is on evil, just like these people were. Now, church, they have in themselves. They have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now, some versions say to lewdness, licentiousness, sensuality, etc. Now, we know the only thing that means is uncontrollable lust, excess, violence, and evil conduct. Now, the word lasciviousness have a lot of other meanings, but I'm not going to deal with nothing but more mainly uncontrollable lust. That's the problem in our world. You heard about the Boy Scouts. That's lust. Uncontrollable. Church, I don't want us to have our blinders on. They are seeking after ever-increasing forms of moral depravity. As Paul talks about in Romans, the first chapter, verse 18 following. Now, I'm not going to read that. I'm going to let you read it when you get home. You know what it's talking about. Read it. This is what Paul is talking about. Just like our world today. Cut on your TV set, see two men and the women's kissing. I'm saying two men's kissing or two women kissing. Have you ever? I know you have seen it. If you ever look at any TV, even ours, my granddaughters was there the first part of the summer, all three of them. And the younger one was looking at a cartoon. And I noticed in the cartoon, they had two men as the dad and the mother, I guess, in the home. And I had to stop it and find, who put this television on this station? See, we don't know what our children are watching. Let me tell you what the world is doing. They are conditioning our children to accept this. Church, they are starting when they are young. And we don't see it sometimes. I had to get on one of my daughters about buying her daughter a rainbow outfit. Y'all know what that means, don't you? We need to be mindful of what we're doing. Because she walking around here with rainbow outfits. What they're telling people? Church, they worked all uncleanness with greediness. You know, the word greediness means a desire for more. We never be content in America. We always want more. And I'm willing to say we got more stuff we need in our homes. Sometimes we rent, we buy storage houses and put things in them. And then when that gets filled up, we go rent a space and put stuff in it. Church, this is what these people were doing. These Gentiles had no love and concern for others, but with greediness, having a passion to possess everything for themselves. And now, church, this kind of all uncleanness with greediness is usually associated with the love of money. And I can understand what Paul, when he was wrote to Timothy and told him in 1 Timothy 16, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. You know how all these people, you go to the gas station, try to get pay for your gas, you got to wait to 10 or 15 people to get their lotto tickets. That's the love of money. Not only that, if you got to turn that 1 Timothy 6, I want to read that verse. At 16, this is what Paul says there. He says, 1 Timothy 16, he said, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money, is the root of all evil. He said, which while somewhat covet after. Why do you think they buying them tickets? They want to hit it big. You know what I tell the people at the church? How you going to pick it up without everybody knowing? God don't want that money. Well, you know, God don't want you to give him something like that. God want us to work for a living. We trying to get something from nothing. Listen to what listen to what else he says in this verse. He says, they have what? Erred from the faith. That's a sin. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Money don't make people happy. Now, don't get me wrong. We all need money to survive and live on this earth. I'm saying the love of money. Well, you'll do any and everything to hurt people to get some money. You don't care about no one that don't have. You're not willing to help no one that don't have. You're more concerned about you getting more and more and more. This is our world becoming. Verse 20. What time we in? At 8? 8? Let me hasten. In verse 20, I want to get that. The Bible talks about, go back to Ephesians 20. I'm going to try to hasten now. I was a little casual. But in verse 20, the Bible says, 20, 21, and 22, the Bible says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, church, but you have not learned Christ. Paul now reminded his Christian brethren that they are different from the other Gentiles just described. what has made them different. They open their hearts to learn of Christ. They know that the Lord came to give himself to redeem us and rescue us from darkness. And now, read Titus 2, 1 through 11. I'm going to save some time on my, and 1 Peter 2, 9. Read those passages. That's showing what the statement I just made. Church, when a person hears Christ's teaching and obey it, then it will rule and reign his life. This is learning Christ. This is how we learn Christ. Because Christ is truth. Jesus is truth. The Bible teaches in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father by me. I am the truth. I am the way. I am life, Jesus said. And if you're going to get to God, you got to come through me. In John 17:17, he says, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is true. See, God's word is the thing going to set us apart from everybody else. And then Jesus said, you should know the truth, and the truth should set you free, John 8:32. We need to know his word. His word will set us free, church. These are some things that we as Christians have to do. When a person, I'm saying, we must always study God's word and attend Bible study, Bible classes, and attend worship services. Now let me, y'all probably have the same problem we have in Madison. Sunday morning, you have a good crowd. What about Sunday evening? What about Wednesday evening? See, we have forgotten that the Bible says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some ear. Why we should not forsake? We're supposed to come and help provoke love and good works among one another. How can you say I love? Let me ask you this. If I tell my wife I love her and never come home, what she going to think? Now, when I do come, I'm going to have some what? Y'all know some problems out there. Emma. Now, how are you going to tell God you love him and you never in his house? When I say house, I mean when the church come together. I don't mean this building. See? And you know, we need to strengthen the church by showing the world our strength, by coming together. When the world see members of the Lord's church don't go back on Sunday evening or Wednesday night, we weaken the body. I'm glad to see you here tonight. And I'm glad to see my beloved sister, Sharaka, with me tonight. I'm going to leave that alone. And I thought you weren't going to be here because of your mother. Church, it's very important that we learn Christ. And once we learn him, we need to show him in our lives. Now, we got to put off the old man. We got to get rid of that old man. See, thresh him out. Throw him away. If a man has something clinging to him, he got to get rid of it. See, we don't come into church and bring some sins with us. I used to have argument with brethren all the time where you just can't stop. Why not? When Paul gave up the Jewish religion, he gave it up. He didn't say, I got to go back and talk to nobody. He didn't say, I got to bring this in with us. Paul gave it up. Church, we have to give it up too. We have to give up sin. We got to take off that old man. And once you take off that old man, You need something to put on then. That's a new man. You know, if you go out and buy a nice outfit to take your wife, go out and buy a nice outfit, and you to go celebrate your anniversary and somewhere, you're going to come home, get rid of them old clothes, and put on that new outfit, aren't you? Why? You want to look good when you go outside, don't you? You want people to know that it's a special occasion. And the people can tell when you dress that it's a special occasion. Now, what you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When we have taken off that old man, we should be glad to go out in this world where people can see a different me. What you mean, preacher? I had a brother who was a member of the church. He ran women's. He drank alcohol. He did some end of everything he wanted to do. He told me he left New Jersey. He had drunk a whole fifth by the time he got to Carolina. Drunk the rest of it, and we got to Edenton. He finished it. Now, everybody knew him just about in town. But when he obeyed the gospel, he changed. He changed. And people used to ask about it. And he loved women. Now, I'm just, you know what I'm talking about. And my wife, now I'm not going to call his name. He's dead now. He was one of the greatest personal workers we had in the church. He was a salesman by trade. And he knew how to talk. And he'll talk to you about the Bible. We was in Gray, Georgia. We went and stopped. If you ever been to Gray, Georgia, to that Hutter house. We was eating breakfast. He said, that looked like a preacher there. Let's go over there and talk with him. That's how he wasn't afraid to talk to anybody at any time. We need that kind of courage in the church today. He went over there, introducing himself, shook the man's hand. He was a big Methodist bishop out of Macon. Now, I didn't like how he do things. I had to get on. He'd go get and say some stuff and say, tell him what's right, Brother Walker. When I'm teaching a class, you let me teach until I ask for your advice. If you want to teach it, you teach it. And he get them all riled up, and I got to calm them down and then teach them God's word. But now, he have taken me on a lot of class. I said, now, brother, we need to go back and talk to some of these people we already have been teaching. That's, you know, you ain't going to save people just about on one lesson now. But I've gone to many classes with him. And he are not afraid to talk to anyone about the Bible. Black, white, anybody. Indians, he going to talk to you about Jesus and the church. Church, I'm going to have to come to a close, but we need to renew our minds, as Paul talks about in Romans 12:2. And in the latter part of this passage here, we need to renew our mind. We need to not be conformed to this world, but be reformed by the renewing of our mind. Once we have renewed our minds, then we are ready to put on that new man for Christ. See, God created that new man just like he created our physical body. He created our spiritual body as well, that new man. And church, God want us to let the world see the new man in us. And my time is up. I got a little bit more, but I'm going to go on to quit because my time is up. I took too much time on some things. I hope you got the gist of the lesson. And I appreciate y'all inviting me. And I appreciate the opportunity to be in here. And I hope I said something to make you a better Christian, to edify you in the name of Jesus. That'll stand. Stand and let us have prayer. Most wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, your servants come to you at this time with thanksgiving in our hearts for all your blessing that you smile upon us each day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to teach your word. Give us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we can share these things where it can be, they can be understood. And most of all, Father, bless us that we will make your word a part of our lives, that the world can see that we are different and that we are sanctified. And most of all, give us the courage to share with others the good news whereby they too can become a part of your body. Be with this congregation, Father. Continue to bless them in the blessing that they stand in need. Bless the eldership, the deaconship, and the minister, and the congregation as a whole, that they will always uphold your truth and be a light in this community for those that are in darkness. Father, bless them that they may grow spiritually and physically in this community, that your light will always shine in this area. Father, we ask to be with us and bless us and watch over us as we depart from this place and go to our home of our place of abode, that no physical harm or danger come upon us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.